Folks, Field of Greens is the healthiest thing I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. Why? It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I love the fruit flavors particularly, and it's completely improved my life and my health. This is nutrition the way nature intended. When I began taking a hard look at why I wasn't feeling good and why I felt unhealthy, why I was gaining weight, why I was losing energy, it wasn't just because I had hit my 50s. No, it was because I wasn't getting the right amount of fruit and vegetables in my diet. And listen, I'm just too busy to go to the store, clean up the vegetables, cook vegetable dinners, and make sure I hit the fruit. A Field of Greens stepped in. One scoop of powder in my drink or on my eggs in the morning, and boom, I was off and feeling better. And suddenly, I was losing weight. I was sleeping better. My metabolism went up. My blood sugar went down. My cholesterol went down, and my weight went down. And my doctor said, hey, whatever you're doing, keep it doing. You know what that is? It's Field of Greens. That's what I've been doing. Field of Greens is radically different. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise you, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you 100% money back guarantee. Now, you're going to get 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping because of the incredible partnership we have here at Just the News with Brick House Nutrition, and of course, Field of Greens. All you got to do to take advantage of this offer, visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JustNews. That's promo code JustNews at fieldofgreens.com. Don't wait. Go to fieldofgreens.com today. Use the promo code JustNews for 15% off. Hello, America. I know it's the weekend. It's Saturday. You're not expecting to hear my voice. You're probably out wanting to mow the lawn, have a drink on the back porch, cook up some of those great Kansas City steaks, right? Well, guess what? News is breaking out. What's going on in Cuba is an enormous moment in world history. We have waited 60 or 70 years for a moment to see if the Cuban people can free themselves from the communist regime that has repressed them since the day that the Castro brothers took power. And over the last week, there are signs that this could be a perestroika moment like that which struck the Soviet Union and befell the Soviet Union for a more free set of republics. It could be the Green Revolution that the Obama administration failed to fully engage in Iran in 2009 and 10. And as a result, it was repressed and Iran remains under the tyrannical rule of those Iranian mullahs. We don't know, but the people of Cuba are speaking, they're agitating, they're begging for freedom, they're resisting censorship, resisting the economic repression and incompetence of the communist regime that has governed their island for 60 plus years. And we have a special guest to make sense of it all. That's why we're doing a special edition on a Saturday. I know I'm intruding on your weekend. Give me a chance to make a good case, and I have just the case to make. Why? I've got one of the greatest journalists covering Cuba in the world today. Her name is Helet Frajella. She runs the site ADN Cuba down in Miami. She's an American journalist, an expat from Cuba who fled Cuba, became a refugee lawfully in the United States. She and her family have been enemies of the state of Cuba for a long time. Her grandfather was imprisoned after the Bay of Pigs. You have a family here today that has enormous stake in there, and a journalist who's covering it neutrally with a great perspective, great sources on the ground. We're going to ask her all the questions you've been asking us at Just the News. So we're going to do a quick commercial break here from our great sponsors. When we come back, our exclusive interview with Helet Frajella, the great journalist covering Cuba for ADN Cuba. She's the entrepreneur who started that great web news site. Check it out if you haven't done it. You're going to get to hear from Helet in just a second. Hey folks, John Solomon here from John Solomon Reports. I'm proud to be on the iHeartRadio app every day with my podcast, with the news that we bring, the exclusive interviews. And you know what else is great? You can listen to any iHeartRadio station anywhere in the country inside this free app. I used to listen to all sorts of radio on my AM or FM radio. Today, I don't have time to be in the car that often. You know where I listen? I listen on the iHeartRadio app. It's awesome. And they have some really cool new features, unlike anything else in the market. One of them is called Talk Back Mic. Anytime I have something to say, I tap the mic and send my voice message and then listen to hear my voice on one of my favorite shows. Isn't that cool? You can send a message to your favorite disc jockey, your favorite podcast show host. So be sure to download download the iHeart app radio. If you don't have it right now, the iHeart radio app is a winner. Be sure to download the free iHeart radio app today and start streaming your favorite radio stations, your favorite podcasts, and your favorite music playlists right from the iHeart radio app. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest who really knows the frontline story of Cuba. I mean, knows it personally because she fled the island as a young girl. And she has been covering Cuba for many years as a professional journalist. Joining us for the first time on John Solomon Reports is Helet Ferhella. Helet, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, John. Thank you for having me. And thank you for making this space to talk about such an important issue for us Cubans. And I'm really glad to be here with you and your audience today.
Well, you have been an extraordinary journalist, and your journalism credentials are unchallengeable. And you've created this amazing product out of Miami called ADN Cuba, which is a great Hispanic news site covering the news of Cuba and its expats here in America and abroad. But you started your life in Cuba, and your story is so compelling as a young girl, what you did and what your family did and your journey to America to come here legally. I'd love to just have you tell everyone a little bit about where you started, how you got your start in journalism, and why today you're a journalist covering Cuba.
Definitely. Thank you so much. Yes, I left the island in 1994 as a political refugee with my family, my father, who was a lawyer, my mother, who was an English teacher, and my sister. And we left the island and we seek asylum in Costa Rica. My mother was the daughter of a political prisoner who fought in Bay of Pigs. And my grandfather spent many, many years in prison in Cuba. And sadly, he died in Cuba many years ago without seeing it free. The same goes for many of members of my family. And sadly, that's a situation that a lot of Cubans have had to endure for like over 60 years, you know, waiting for freedom. I remember when I was a child, we left with nothing more than a suitcase, $200, suitcase full of books and a flag that was folded, with the dream of one day being able to raise it when Cuba was free. And it's been 27 years since that moment, and we haven't been able to achieve that dream. So the protests and everything that happened in the island in recent days and this past week has been really symbolic for us, because Cuba lives in a fake reality. And that's the commonality for all communist regimes. We saw it in the Soviet Union. They portrayed and they sent to the world this fake idea and fake reality, this falseness. And people usually don't really understand what's going on, because unless you come from a communism and you had to endure what communism does to your life and the double standards and the lies that you had to learn to say just survive, it's really difficult to understand what's going on. Many years ago, I decided to create this website, which is called ATN Cuba. I was working in mainstream and on the way these issues were covered, and they were covered even here in America, even in Costa Rica, where I grew up. I it was sad for me, and it was frustrating to see some of my friends, even people that I went to college with, being sympathetic with this regime without understanding the reality of what the Cuban people has been living for so many years.
Now, it is remarkable, and anyone who hasn't had a chance to check out ADN Cuba, it is a must read. It is a fantastic news site. It is the place where you can get the true pulse of Cuba and the true pulse of all the expats that have fled the island and long for its soon and impending freedom, I think, where it's headed in that course. Helet, I want to talk a little bit. It's pretty fair to say that your family was considered enemies by the communist Castro regime, right? That's why you had to flee.
Well, yeah, my family, the situation in Cuba, when you have somebody in your family, we have many political prisoners in my family. My grandfather fought in Bay of Pigs and was sent to prison waiting for Kennedy to send the weapons. It was one of the saddest moments for many Cubans when that happened and we couldn't reach our freedom. And what happens is when a member of your family is sent to prison in Cuba, it doesn't only affect them, it affects everybody around them. I remember my grandmother, who was a biologist, she was never able to work again for decades, and because she was the wife of a political prisoner. And the same went for my mother. My mother couldn't study what she wanted to study because she was the daughter of a political prisoner. So with time, everybody just learn to hide that and learn to hide that stigma just in order to survive. My father was a lawyer, and he had a lot of issues in many trials because he didn't agree with the government. He started talking for the international press being in Cuba. So the situation was really difficult. And it's really difficult for anybody who dissents in Cuba. I mean, there's so many brave people right now in Cuba that are raising their voices, and the level of repression that I see with the journalists that work with us, it's unbelievable. It's every day, every single day they have police cars in front of their houses to prevent them from leaving the island. I mean, now basically the Cuban regime has said that our site and two of my colleagues are responsible for this protest and for this hashtag that sort of began everything. And it's just the way they hide and they create these false realities and they manipulate truth. It's unbelievable. And I'm glad that for once, I think a lot of people around the world are seeing their true colors. They have seen what we have been seeing for decades, you know, the arrest, the forced disappearance. We have over 200 people disappear right now. And that's just the ones that we have been able to tell their names that we're still trying to corroborate and confirm by other sources. And I'm glad that a lot of people are waking up and understanding the dangers of communism, the dangers that have done to people's lives, and that how we must all fight back against this Marxist ideas and this polarization.
It is a remarkable thing. There's been a narrative since this protest, since this rejection of communism in Cuba resurrected itself in a very public way over the last week, 10 days. There's a narrative for some here on the left in America that Cuba actually loves the situations and communism has been good for Cuba, and that the only real problem and the only economic crisis that Cuba faces is because America, big bad America, imposed some economic sanctions. Now, the intelligence community tells me that argument is bunk, that the intel is that the failure of communism to create a sustainable economy is the reason the island is in crisis. But as someone who lived there, who has friends and family that you're in contact with there, is this narrative that the Cuban people love communism and if it weren't for big bad America, everything would be fine on the island, is that a true narrative or is that a false narrative?
That is a false narrative. That is a false narrative. And when people see a lot of Cubans supporting the regime, a lot of them have been threatened. People know that if they don't go to those pro-regime protests, they're not going to be able to study. They're not going to be able to keep their jobs. And that's what they have seen for decades, this false reality. And let me clarify, this idea that the embargo has caused it, that is just completely untrue. And a lot of Cubans are waking up because the regime has been saying that to the world. They have been sending that message throughout Latin America for many decades. And thank God, a lot of people are waking up. First of all, the embargo doesn't include medicine. The embargo doesn't include food. Cuba has rejected humanitarian assistance many times. Cuba rejected vaccines many times just because they don't really care. They invested all these resources in creating these so-called vaccines when they can't even cure and treat the most basic disease in the island as scabies. Our people are really going into the hospital for scabies because they or kids that can't even get their fever down. Why? Because those issues don't make the news. Those issues don't make international headlines. So that's what they focus on all of this COVID and sending their doctors overseas, sending the doctors overseas, by the way, in a way that is a modern form of forced slavery. And that has been even declared by the United Nations, because when Cubans send those 30,000 doctors that we have overseas right now, what happened is that no wonder the medical system collapses inside the island, because the island doesn't have doctors, because Cuba has sent his personnel outside of the world just to use it as propaganda, and also because it gives them a lot of money, because they get paid because for that. Because while they get paid, they take 90% of those doctors paid. They take their passports. They even control who they can date, who they can see, who they can talk to. And all of that has been very well documented. And it's just unreal that a lot of people are still buying into this narrative that, oh, my God, Cuba's whole system is good. I remember when I saw that Michael Moore's documentary, and we talked among our friends, and like, really? Of course. He went to the one hospital that tourists goes in the island. He didn't go to the hospital.
Yeah, of course.
I went when I was a kid, that they didn't even have the most basic supplies. So it's sad how many people have helped this regime, this horrible repressive regimes to continue in power and to confuse a lot of young people around the world.
Such an important point for people to understand that Cuba has an unbelievable propaganda machine, and it can show one hospital that looks like an American hospital, and yet the vast majority of patients are languishing in facilities that have, you know, 50, 60-year-old technology and capabilities in horrid conditions. And that's something that we have to keep in mind. We used to have reporters in America that looked at Cuba with the appropriate amount of suspicion and, you know, help people understand that what you're seeing may not really be reality. It's a made-for-TV show. But today it seems as though we have apologists for Cuba and they're misinforming the American public about the true nature. What instigated this most recent uprising? I mean, you have friends on the ground, family on the ground, sources on the ground. You're an amazing reporter. Why a week or 10 days ago did all of this agitation from the Cuban people begin?
Yes, well, that's a very interesting question and something everybody's wondering what really happened. I think Cuba perestroika has come through thanks to the internet. And I know sometimes people just overestimate the power on the internet, but in a country that has always lived in darkness, in informational darkness, that everything was controlled by the government, the press, the television, the radio. For the last few years, more Cubans, since people need to remember, Cubans did not have internet until recently, okay? So right. they didn't have access to information. And just until 2 years and a half ago, Cubans had internet on their phones. And that's when everybody started like seeing what was happening around there in their communities. They started communicating more. And I think that was like an awakening for the Cuban people, especially for young people that were born after the Soviet Union collapsed, that have no allegiance to that system, and that has just seen what, you know, the possibilities around the world. They have dreams, they have expectations. And it's just, it doesn't add up, right? And when you're seeing what's going on around the world and when you see what's going on around you and the lack of opportunities and the repression toward your friends, obviously a lot of people have started like shifting. And it's very important to understand in America that this was a movement that started by artists. This was a movement that started by like Cuban artists that were not allowed to express themselves because the government was released the decree 349, which persecuted free expression through art, and it started putting a lot of regulations, even in painters, in actors, in singers, and filmmakers also. So a lot of people started protest against this decree 349, and for the last few years, we have seen more and more artists come out and speak out against the regime. People that were really also risking their comfortable, their status quo, but they had enough. And I think a lot of, through the benefit of having information and independent press in Cuba that to inform the Cuban people.
Yeah, very important for us to understand the dynamic. So you just compared this to perestroika, and of course, that was during the Reagan and Bush years where our administrations here in America encouraged and backed the people on the ground. And that's what gave rise to the fall of the Soviet Empire without a shot ever being fired. And we faced a similar moment in 2009 when the Green Revolution started in Iran. And I think a lot of historians and national security experts look back and say the Obama administration missed an enormous opportunity to perhaps create a free Iran, to create the downfall of the mullahs. The mullahs, as we now know from intelligence, were clinging to power. And that revolution may not have been able to have been put down had the United States put some more muscle behind the everyday people in Iran that were doing it. But the Iranian mullahs suppressed it, and Iran remains a horrific experience for its own people, a true regime of repression. Cuba, the Biden administration could go the perestroika route. It could go the Obama route. What are you seeing as the American response, and is it enough for the people in Cuba to find solidarity with the American government and its people?
Sadly, not in my opinion. The Cuban people right now does not need bold statements and tweets. They need action. And it's frustrating because a lot of people are dying. I am afraid that the end goal cannot be the internet. We need the internet, definitely. I agree. As a journalist, of course, I understand the benefit of it. And I understand and I defend the benefit of information. But at this point, when people, armless people, have been killed on the street, when the Cuban regime has cut off internet to wait for those dark nights to go and get dissidents and activists and protesters out of their homes and arrest them and disappear them, I think we're past the internet right now. And I'm afraid people are putting too much hope on that. I'm really hopeful that, and I hope we can have a stronger response from the Biden administration. There's a lot of frustration in the community right now. A lot of people are in D.C. protesting. People have not stopped protesting in Florida. There was a big phrase that I heard the other day in Miami. There was a protest, and they asked for everybody to stop the music, and they said, if Cuba is crying, Miami is also crying. And I think that is the feeling in our community. And I hope Washington, people in Washington and the administration really pays attention to this, because this is a golden opportunity. I think they have taken too long. I think their response has been slow. And I think somebody needs to have the bravery to say America stood up for freedom through our history, and somebody should defend the Cuban people. The Cuban people deserve to be free. But what a lot of people don't understand is that when Castro got into power, they took everyone's arms. So that's an entire country that has no weapons. The weapons are on the police hands, and the weapons are on the military. Those are the people that have the weapons. Cubans don't have anything. And we saw how many bosses arrived on the protest with police, dressed as civilians and with like big bats that they cover inside newspapers, just to pretend that the protesters were the ones trying to provoke those riots, which is completely false. And there are images that prove that it's false.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt. No doubt. Yeah. No, it's an amazing thing, Hillette. As you look out now, as you talk to your experts, people on the ground, people here in the national security establishment in the United States, what is the thing that the Biden administration, the United States government, could do now to give Cubans the greatest chance in 60, 70 years to have freedom? What could the United States do, according to your experts, that would tip Cuba into a free country and get rid of this communist regime?
Well, some people are definitely talking about the need for leadership with the international community, stronger sanctions. Some other people are talking about opening humanitarian aid in Guantanamo, which obviously the Cuban regime is not gonna accept. But I think that's the view of some ex people that have been working in this field for a long time, that they think it's important to send a message of support, that the U.S. is ready to help. I'm going to be honest, there are a lot of other peoples in this community asking for a military humanitarian intervention. And I understand why is that. I mean, we have seen how this regime operates. We have seen how they repress people, and we are afraid that this is not going to be fixed or solved in the way a lot of people think. You know, this is not going to be fixed with the internet. There's actually a petition that I think it has almost 400,000 signatures already, asking for the U.S. to lead a coalition to intervene in Cuba and help those armless people. So right now, there are many different arguments. I know that's not a popular view in Washington. I understand why it isn't. But I don't see it as a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think the United States needs to have a stronger response to Cuba. It can't just be to work out the internet and send a statement. It needs to have a stronger response internationally with their allies.
Very important to hear those words and to understand the moment that America faces here. We have longed for Cuba's freedom, for the end of communism 90, 100 miles from our shore for a very long time. And the Biden administration, our U.S. national security apparatus, will play a big role in determining whether that moment comes or whether it passes without the moment that I know Hillette and everyone in her community and family are hoping for. It's a remarkable time. Hillette, how can people follow the great work that you're doing at ADN Cuba? How do we follow you on Twitter and stay in touch with your day-to-day reporting?
Thank you. Yes, they can go to Facebook, ADN Cuba. They can also go to adncuba.com, which means like Cuba's DNA, Cuba's identity. And they can also follow us on Twitter. It's Cuba ADN also. And if they right AD in Cuba, they can see some of our social platforms and the website, of course.
Well, it's one of the must-read sites. And with everything going on in Cuba right now, check it out. It is an essential read every day. And great journalist we're speaking to. Hellette, be safe. Thank you for all you're doing. And we're going to get you back in the show quickly because I have a funny feeling the moment in Cuba is going to be a big story for the next few months.
Thank you so much, John, and thanks to your audience for listening.
Well, important news from a great journalist delivering it. We'll be talking to you soon. Be safe.
Thank you so much, John.
Thanks, Hellette. All right, folks, you've been listening to Hellette Frajella, one of the really great journalists covering Cuba, a Cuban expat, U.S. citizen who has created an incredible website, ADN Cuba. Must read, particularly with all that's going on now. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up for the weekend. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. All right, it is time to go back to your weekend activities. I know I intruded. I beg your forgiveness and your indulgence, but when you have a journalist as great as Hellette Frajella on the line, you want to get it out. It's current and newsy and breaking news, and I think Hellette gave you the very latest intelligence this Saturday on what's going on in Cuba, how the Cuban people are reacting to the tepid response from the Biden administration, what needs to be done, the opportunity, what's driving it, and also debunking some of the false reporting and false political memes that those on the left in America have claimed. The most false of them is that the Cuban crisis is a result of American sanctions, not the Cuban people's rejection of communism. That is a false narrative. It's about as true as Russia collusion, and you know where that ended up, in the wastebasket of dirty political tricks. Hellette gave us a pretty clear answer. The Cuban people are revolting not because of sanctions, but because they don't want to be repressed. And the more they got a little bit of the free internet the last couple of years, the more they have craved that sort of freedom that we have in America. Keep that in mind. It's worth preserving here. People in Cuba yearn for it because they know how good the American experience is. Here at Just the News, at John Solomon Reports, we stand for the enormous patriots in Cuba who are fighting for freedom, who are fighting to have a country, a republic, just like the great experiment that the American experience is. And we're going to cover this story wall to wall with great super sources like Hellette Frajella, great reporter, honest broker, fact gatherer, who has her own personal connection to Cuba, a great personal story, and a great commitment to neutrality in journalism. Check out her site, ADN Cuba, whenever you get a chance. All right, folks, get back to your weekends. Thank you for letting me intrude. A little bit of breaking news never hurts on a weekend. Check us out throughout the weekend at justthenews.com. We'll have the latest on Cuba and everything else, the Hunter Biden scandal, the news story I broke yesterday on Just the News. We'll have you covered day and night, and we'll be back with a new show on Monday morning. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the Wellness Company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.